My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, MIDI.com.
From the WEEI studios, 93.7 WEEI FM and HD1, Lawrence, Boston, and Odyssey Sports Station.
Sergei Bobrovsky, key saves, Sam Reinhardt, Anton Lundell, each with two goals, and the Panthers beat the Bruins twice in a six-day span. Your final today, 4-3, Florida.
Is battling for pucks also affecting your power play, having a hard time being able to finish?
Yes, because, I mean, that last power play, we had the opportunity. We should have, they have two in the battle, we should have three. And when we had, you know, a couple of guys watching things happen and instead of doing their job.
The Afternoon Show with Christian Arcan and Andy Hart starts now on WEEI.
I'm starting to really hate watching this team play the Panthers. I don't know. It reminds me... It almost reminds me of like the Red Sox and the Yankees before 04.
Yep.
Just, you know they're going to beat you. You know that they own you. You know there's nothing you can really do about it. No Barkov, no Tkachuk yesterday, and you still, it's not like you just lost. You're giving up shorthanded goal. Like, that was awful. I do not like watching this team play the Panthers. I don't like it. It really is. And they're out there. And credit to Pastrnak, who was throwing some hits out there. Credit to Marchand and these guys for trying to stand up to this Florida team. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You hit them. You knock them down. You get the whistle there. You get some penalties. There's like 10 penalties in the first period, whatever it was. And they just don't care. They take the hits. They absorb the punishment. And then they skate right around you and score a goal. They skate off to the box after doing some dirty crap, and then they turn you over in the neutral zone, boom, back the other way, and they beat Swayman, who did not have a good game last night, by the way. Not his best. And I'm a Swayman apologist. But, listen, it's the whole team. It's not just him. This whole team, when they play Hampus Lindholm, I close my eyes, I see him losing the puck in the neutral zone. Like, it was every single time he was trying to break the puck out. The Panthers on that forecheck are nasty, and the Bruins have no answer for it. And the only reason why I care so much, and the only reason why I overreact so much when the Bruins play the Panthers, is because, as Scott McLaughlin told us, and I believe his Razor sort of hinted at as well, the Bruins offseason was all about competing with and beating the Panthers. And so far, Ruh-roh. It's the same old crap.
And good news is you only play them one more time, and it's not till January 11th, I think. You get right. A little, for you specifically, you won't have to watch the matchup for a couple months. The thing that was demoralizing for me is I've kind of dubbed Tkachuk the puppet master, whatever you want to call it, the maestro, whatever. Yeah. He wasn't out there.
Nope.
So even when he's not out there, they still play you like a fiddle. And it's gotten to the point where I don't want to overreact. But what is this Bruins team's identity? Because you're clearly not going to slug it out with Carolina. You're not better than them. You're not more skilled than them. They feel more skilled, more physical, more feisty, more competitive. Like, what is it you'd say would be your preferred approach to beat them? Because right now it feels like the only way you're going to beat them is if your guy, Swayman, is just on his head, lights out, ridiculous.
Yeah.
And he's not right now because I still have that. Now, the numbers are out of whack because of this game, but it was 22 games, 11 wins, 74 goals apiece. That doesn't feel it, that's a balanced stat sheet. That's a balanced debit. Pros and nope, doesn't feel that way because when they need to, when they want to, they beat you. And it, they're so in your heads. I don't know whether you want to call them, you reference the Yankees, Red Sox. Are they your daddy? Are they the Bruins' daddy? Or are they just your big brother?
I think they're your daddy at this point.
Whatever you want to call it,
you
they
said
are
big
that.
Brother after the first game. Now I'm saying daddy. And by the way, in between kicking the Bruins' ass, the Panthers lost to the Senators and the Sabres, the two worst teams in the division. Not by record already so far. I mean, we'll see what they actually end up being. But last year, those were two teams down in the cellar, and they got outscored 8-3 in those two games. They just own you. They just own you, and they know it. And, man, it is tough to watch. It is tough to sit down and watch the Bruins when they're playing that team because you know it's in their head. And you know that Marchand, and you know that Pastrnak, and even the new guys, you can tell. It's like, all right, this is our thing. We got to go out there and we got to really show them this time that we're not going to let them take liberties and we're not going to let them take runs at our guys and all that. And we're going to stand up to them and blah, 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 blah. And they try. I mean, listen, they tried. They tried to settle the score in the first game. And they were down, what, 2-0 in the first 5 minutes? Yep. Same thing again. I mean, really, like, it wasn't that much different. We were on the air, so we weren't watching it. I went back and watched it later. But, Beecher scores that first goal, and then all of a sudden Lindell answers back a minute later, and then by 5 minutes after that, all of a sudden you're down 2-1. And that's just the way it's going with this team. Like, they cannot beat these guys, and it sucks. You know, it sucks to think that you're probably going to meet them in the playoffs. You know, this is probably going to be another playoff matchup. You're going to need a miracle if you want to beat him. Bobrovsky's going to have to go down with an injury or something, and even then I'm not sure that that's going to be enough. And I just feel like the Bruins, they know, and they've had this problem before because it's not just Florida. Florida's the team right now that's sort of in their way. But in the past, it's been the Tampa Bay Lightning. Mm-hmm. In the past, it's been the Carolina Hurricanes.
Yep.
In the past, even that one year, was the Islanders. It doesn't really matter. There's always someone there. And that's the most frustrating part of all of this because eventually you feel like, all right, it's got to be the Bruins' turn here one of these times. And 2 years ago, it seemed like it was going to be. It seemed like it was going to be the Bruins' turn. Here they are with the Vezina winner, right? Like Tim Thomas flashbacks with Linus Allmark there, and this is the guy that's going to ride them all the way to the Stanley Cup final and raise the cup again. And nope, instead you get knocked out in the first round by Matthew Tkachuk and the Florida Panthers. And now they're this new boogeyman team. And every single year, it seems like, there's some new boogeyman or, you know, the recurring one or whatever. But there's always somebody in the way. And that's frustrating. You just wonder when they're going to break out of that thing.
And that is the frustrating part. Because I was going to say, in one sense, there's no shame in not measuring up to the Stanley Cup champions.
Right.
Right? Like, they're the best in hockey. And even some of the way they are built and the way they play the game, Montgomery's talking about, they're sort of the measuring stick of competing, right, of battling right now. Not just skill, but the way they battle and they play the game. But as you said, this is like a couple-year window where it's the Panthers, but it seems like it's always a couple-year window, and it's never your window. And we had some in the Twitch chat that are like, the identity of this team is they're soft, which it may be. But if you're soft, aren't you supposed to be more skilled? Like, softer and less skilled is not a great way to go through life,
no.
Right? Like, that's, and that I feel like
could
is
be the name
identity.
Of my autobiography.
Softer and less skilled?
Yes.
The Christian Arcand story. No, and you know, the moves they made perceived to be for the Panthers, get a little bigger, right? Get a little, like, slower, theoretically.
Right.
But, like, you're...
Although Razor said, no, they're not any slower. They're slower.
They seem it.
They look slower.
They definitely do. They absolutely
even
do.
Even in those games they won, even against Montreal and L.A., I mean, they didn't look like they were skating circles around
and
anybody.
And they're not playing well, either. That's right. Part of it. And I don't know if that's early in the season. I don't know if that's sort of, you know, spin-off from the whole Swayman thing, because he's not playing great either. You're giving up shorthanded goals. Like, he's not. I think you're second in the league in goals allowed or something like that right now. You've given up a lot of goals pretty quickly in the season here. And they're just not playing well. But the good news is, silver lining, Andy, it's what I do these days on this show, seemingly to balance out your negativity sometimes. Silver lining is you're done with the Panthers for a while. Although, I would also argue that their head coach doesn't believe they've been playing good hockey at all, no matter. Wins, losses, Panthers, not Panthers. He does. And I'm going to bring up a topic we talked a little bit about last week, which Razor kind of put us to bed and was like, well, if he doesn't get a contract, the players are going to basically revolt to support
him.
Right now, this seems like a hockey team that is not invested in doing what their head coach wants.
Not trying to save his
right?
job, it doesn't seem like.
They're
no.
not disciplined. They're right. not winning. He's calling them out for playing undisciplined hockey, lifeless hockey, standing around.
Watching, yeah.
Those are all the markers of team that needs a coaching change, not of a team that needs to give their coach a three-year contract extension, right? So if they really do love their coach, you know the best way they could probably show it?
Win some games.
Win some games
or
and do what he asks
the Panthers
you to do.
Once in a while, Jesus. I mean,
play hockey
once.
The way he wants you to play hockey, because you're not doing that right now. And you're making him look bad. And if this really is some weird early season trial period to make sure the wheels don't fall off,
right.
The wheels haven't fallen off, but they're wobbling a little bit. You might need an alignment here, so you might want to pull out of this before you get your coach in trouble.
Yeah, agreed.
If you care.
Coming up.
I'm using Razor's theory that they care. They like him.
Yeah, and I think they do like him. I think that's all true. You're going out west here starting tomorrow. You got the Avalanche, that new Utah team, Utah hockey team, and Nashville. And then, you know, you get Toronto and a couple other teams, Carolina coming up. You know, like these are some of the teams that you're going to have to deal with. These are some of the good teams in the NHL. And so far, you've played two good teams and two schmeh teams, and you've gotten your ass kicked by the Florida Panthers both times, which again, it's four games into an 82-game season, everybody. I understand that. I'm not saying that the team's not going to make the playoffs or that they're doomed or anything, but I do think that when you make such an effort and such an emphasis on building your roster around beating the Florida Panthers and then you get smoked by them two straight games early on in the season when all of that roster construction should be paying off and showing out a little bit. That's disappointing. I was disappointed by that. I think it was a disappointing outcome all around. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. Let's go to the phones. Mike's in the car, and he wants me to chill out. Go ahead, Mike.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. How's it going?
Going all right. How are you?
Oh, doing all right. Yeah, I mean, I don't know if chill out is exactly what I would say, but I mean, it's early. It's four games in. You're working in some new players. Swayman didn't exactly have a normal off season or a full training camp. I just think it's a little early to be pushing the panic button or throwing your hands up and saying this team can't beat the Panthers. You know, we'll give them some time to gel, give them some time to play together, to, you know, work in the new guys, to build some chemistry. I just think these two games specifically against the Panthers, you know, the one thing I will agree with you is that the Panthers are definitely in their heads. I mean, it seemed like they were more interested in chasing Bennett and Tkachuk around the ice and trying to goad them into a fight than actually playing the game to win. And I think that's going to go away a little bit, or hopefully it will. But I just think it's like I said, too early, too soon to start, you know, making these types of declarations that they'll never be able to beat the Panthers.
All right. Well, I mean, listen, so far they're 0-2 and they only play them one more time.
But I love that after opening night, you had to tell people like that, I know it's only one game. And now you have to say, I know it's only four games. When does that stop being part of the discussion?
I don't think it does. I mean, I think it's
six games, eight games. So, like, if you're not playing well, you're not playing well.
If we're just talking about the matchup with the Panthers, it has to be the times that they play the Panthers. And
right. They've
only played them one more time. These are the first two. They're 0-2, and I didn't think they looked particularly good in either of those games. That game didn't even seem that close last night. You know, in that third period when no one could cross over the mid-ice, it was just sort of like, all right, you know, this is probably the way this game's going to end. And there was one sequence I really liked. And that was when Pastrnak came up and just took out Reinhart. And then Schmidt came over and took a run at Pastrnak. And then here comes Marchand, comes in, fists a flying, going after Schmidt. And they all got sent to the box, and everybody was, you know, that was all done. And I thought, okay, maybe this is the spark they were looking for. You got your two best players, or two of your best players mm-hmm. out there, and not exactly two tough guys. You know, Pastrnak and Marchand aren't really scaring anybody out there in the NHL, but they were out there throwing their bodies around, I thought, trying to make a statement, and it just didn't do anything. It didn't lead to anything. It didn't do anything. You know, they still were trailing. They did tie it up, I guess, early in the second, but like, I don't know. It's not there. The caller had it right. The Panthers are 100% in your head, and it's just, you got to, the most you can hope for is to avoid them.
But
really, that's it. Just try and avoid them.
The issue is the games get bigger. Like,
yeah.
You've lost even the ability now to build the false confidence.
Right.
Like, because you could have won these two games and been like, you know, chest out, barrel chested.
Absolutely.
Like, we're a different team. And the Panthers might be like, talk to us when it's the postseason.
Uh-huh.
But now you lost the opportunity to build the fake confidence. Now all you've done is built a trend of, they're your daddy. They own you. And I mean, I guess you could get all excited if the January game goes a little differently and maybe you do something there. But this is a lost opportunity in the dynamic of this. Are we calling it a rivalry? It's a rivalry right
Definitely
now.
Definitely a
right?
rivalry, yeah.
Maybe their biggest rivalry right now. Feels like you've said they've kind of had these shorter-term rivalries, especially with the Canadiens not really in the conversation.
Yeah, that rivalry's died down a bit lately,
A little bit. So this is your rival right now. You had an opportunity to set a tone with your rival, and instead you set a different tone. And then it goes into the rest of the games. The other tone you've set is you're just not playing great hockey right now, just in general. I know you have the bookend Panthers games, but you didn't exactly blow doors. Now, the flip side is, in between the Panthers wins, they didn't exactly blow doors.
Nope.
But does that matter for them? They're the defending champions, and they beat up on their bully. I'll take that over what you're doing right now any day.
Yeah, 100%. 617-779-7937 if you want to chime in on the Bruins and their lackluster effort last night at home TD Garden against the Panthers, who have now beaten them twice in this past calendar week. We can get to that as well. Also, coming up here, Bill Watch may have gotten a little cooler than we thought it would, as he had some words for the New York Jets. We'll also get to what we saw last night with the Jets and the Buffalo Bills in Monday Night Football. That's all coming up right after Brian Verzocco tells you what's trending.
After my dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
With Arcand and Hart on WEEI.
Download the Odyssey app and listen on demand anytime.
That's kind of what it's been there at the Jets. You know, they've barely won over 30% in the last 10 years. So, you know, the owner being the owner, just ready, fire, aim. Look, Peyton, I was the head coach of the Jets twice. I was the head coach before Parcells came there, and I was the head coach after Bill resigned. Undefeated, unscored on. All right. My career as a coach of the Jets, it's unblemished. Never gave up a point.
Bill Belichick bringing the heat on the Manning cast last night with lots to say about not just the Jets and the football team, ownership, the organization, some pot shots at the end there that I'm sure Jets fans watching did not appreciate. I thought it was great. I hate the Jets. So that was nice to hear. That made me feel good. That was probably the most entertained I've been by Belichick since he started doing the Manning Cast or any of these various media ventures. I thought that was the best that he had to offer there. Some zingers about Woody Johnson, some zingers about the Jets in general, and probably, not going to say definitely, but probably, no, I'm going to say definitely, taking his name right out of the running there for the next head coach, which is interesting. Because that's the only head coach opening there is right now. I mean, that's it. There's other guys who I'm sure are going to get fired this year. But right now, there's only one team that has an interim head coach that may make a change or may want to make a change. And that is the New York Jets. And I don't know if burning the bridge is enough to cover it. I think he took a flamethrower to the bridge last night during the Manning Cast. But I was entertained by it, Andy. I don't know about you.
Yeah, it's a low bar. I don't think he's been overly entertaining for most of the time. Even the other part of that about, you know, unscored upon or whatever as the head coach, that's funny. That's great. It's like Quinnipiac. They have those T-shirts down at Quinnipiac, like undefeated since 1915 in football because they don't have a football team.
Ah,
it's like, oh, you're crazy. You got me there. He's not going to coach the Jets.
You know who
my
I
dream
feel bad
is dead.
For, real quick? Quinnipiac cheerleaders? Because it's got to take a long time to spell out Quinnipiac. Give me a Q. Give me a Y. You know, like 20 minutes later, give me an I. Give me an A. Give me a C. What does that spell? Quinnipiac. Like, that sucks.
Dad joke activated.
That has got to really suck.
That's a bad dad joke
to be
right
a Quinnipiac cheerleader. Anyway, go on. Sorry.
My dream is dead. My dream was for him to coach the Jets with, because I thought maybe the next desperation move to save Aaron Rodgers could be Bill Belichick.
Mm-hmm.
He eviscerated Woody Johnson. He put the losing all on Woody Johnson, the ready, fire, aim line that everybody ate up, all on Woody Johnson. Clearly, when I asked Adam Schefter last week if it was still seen as a toxic place in his eyes, he hates Woody Johnson.
Yep.
He thinks Woody Johnson's a boob, clearly. And, yeah, he's not going there. And clearly he doesn't want the job. If he wanted the job, I think he's smart enough to not do that on national television.
I agree.
I think he said, I'm removing my name from consideration for the Jets job.
Yes, I will remove my name from consideration of HC of the NYJ, which not to say they were even going to ever offer it to him in the first place. But since we're on the topic, why don't we get right into this week's edition of Bill Watch? Don't laugh. We worked very hard on this.
Bill Watch.
Yeah. Bill Watch, week six. I'd say the New York Jets have gone right off the list as far as Bill Watch is concerned, which, too bad. That was probably the one I wanted to see the most.
Oh, yeah.
Just for the story. I mean, that would have been a good story.
Now we put all our eggs in the Cowboys' cart.
I'd say that's where most of them are right now. The Dallas Cowboys in some real turmoil, which we'll get to in more detail as Jerry Jones went on the radio today and kind of took a dump in his diaper, I think. Like, that was a bad one there for Jerry Jones, going after those radio hosts, talking about, I'll hire some guys who can ask the right questions and blah, 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 blah. And it's like, you know, Jerry, you're the only guy in the entire league that runs his own radio interview and makes everybody fear for their jobs. Like, that was pretty lame. I thought that was lame by Jerry. But, yeah, things are bad in Dallas right now. They're 3-3. They've not won a home game yet, the Dallas Cowboys. So I'd say they're very high on that list. How about the New York Football Giants, who lost again this week?
I think that is growing closer and closer. Did you see the clip of, is it Mara? Is that the owner who was walking out and the fans were giving him a hard time? And
yes.
He turned and he showed him his rings.
Yes.
Like, all right, now you're really slumming it. You're slumming it Bill Belichick style. Remember the comment about why should fans be excited the last 25 years? When you start referencing history, you're close to being history.
Yep.
And obviously the owner's not going to fire himself, but he's going to need to do something to shake it up. And the best way to shake it up, fire the head coach, because the quarterback situation is going to be an issue for them. They can't pull a Patriots and just put some guy on the field named Drake May and everybody gets excited for a week or two. So the best way to shake it up is fire the coach and bring in Bill Belichick, a franchise legend. So that's good news, Patriots fans, because that means Brian Daboll might be available.
Might be shaken loose there with the 2-4 New York Giants. How about the Patriots' upcoming opponents in London? The 1-5 Jacksonville Jaguars. Peterson, I know, has got to be on the last step there. Peterson. So we'll see what happens with him. If he does get fired, could Bill consider going to Jacksonville?
Isn't there some sort of history about London turns into firings or something. Haven't people? I feel like I've seen that on social media. That
who just got fired? Matt got benched.
Robert Saleh just got fired.
Saleh just got fired after. I think there's a history of a few. Now some people think Bill got fired essentially after Germany. It didn't get announced then. But
so it's just any European game.
That European games can end your coaching career theory, and Peterson may test it this week against the Patriots, because if he loses to the Patriots, he's losing to the worst team in football.
If you lose to the Patriots in London, in New England, in Jacksonville, or in Timbuktu, then you should probably get fired.
I know they have the same record, but the hopes were different. The quarterback position is different. The investment in the quarterback is different.
Yep.
And Doug Peterson, I've never been a Doug Peterson guy. I still say that it's one of the great mysteries of the world how Bill Belichick and Tom Brady lost to Nick Foles and Doug Peterson. It makes no sense.
I know. It really
doesn't. No sense. It should be a documentary. It should be a story. It should be a narrative. Something. But I just can't still see Bill coaching the Jaguars. Like, I don't take this one seriously. Mm. I know it's on our list and our bit. I can't. It will be one of the most shocking things I've ever heard. If I wake up one day and it's like Jags have a press conference at 10, they're going to announce Belichick as their head
coach. Isn't that what we felt with Brady going to Tampa, though?
No, way worse. Way worse.
I think Tampa was low on my list of potential landing spots for him. That's what I thought. I didn't think that he was going to go
there. Wasn't the highest, but it wasn't. Because people love to do with Tampa, they're the losingest team in football history. Like the 79 Bucks had anything to do with Tom Brady. He went to a team that had thrown for 5,000 yards. That's the team he went to. And like the two were not connected. Jacksonville, their stadium stinks. Their uniforms kind of stink. They have these weird variations of helmets and black and this.
Because Bill is so well dressed.
I'm making a point here. Zip it down in there, Brian. Jacksonville just sucks in general.
I agree with Brian.
I was talking to
Stiz. Who the hell cares what the jersey looks like?
It's part
of it.
The
Patriots jersey sucked for 20 years and Bill was here. He didn't care.
And they're iconic. What's wrong with Patriots?
They're iconic.
You see those reds, baby?
Iconic because of Belichick. If he goes and wins with Jacksonville, there'll be iconic jerseys.
Well, he's not going to win with Jacksonville because they're a flawed organization from top to bottom. Mm. You got the cons ruining it. They don't know whether they want to be wrestling or football. Football or wrestling. They don't know what they're doing, the family. They're big into analytics. Did you hear Bill a while ago? Not huge on analytics. They are an analytics-run organization.
And how's that working out for him?
And man? I also don't know what he thinks about the $260 million starting quarterback. Because I know he ran Bledsoe out of town at one point, but this would be even harder to run him out of town, I think.
Yeah, it definitely would be. And if you run him out of town, then you're reunited with Mac Jones. So I'm willing to write Jacksonville off the list, too. That leaves us with, I think, two teams left. They're both in the AFC North. The Cincinnati Bengals, who just won a game to get to 2-4, and the Cleveland Browns, who I think, Kevin Stefanski, I know he's won Coach of the Year a bunch, but this team is a train wreck, and you can't fire the whole team, so eventually the coach ends up taking the blame for it if Stefanski goes down. Now, that's an organization that Bill, I think, respects on some level, same with Cincinnati.
Definitely Cincinnati.
You know, Cleveland, I know he was there the first time around. It's a whole different group now, but I think that's...
Same city, though.
Same city.
Does he still hate them? They were mean to him. They were not very nice to him.
But I think it was all misdirected. They were mad that the team was leaving. I think that was all, and they turned it on Bill. You know,
Think he erases that from his like memory?
No, I don't think so. I mean, they were burning him in effigy.
Did he go to a therapist? Was like, Bill, that was really misdirected anger. It wasn't truly intended for
no,
you.
No, but it was also 25 years ago, 30 years ago, whatever it was. And Bill's probably
so was the Jets, and he just said he hates them.
I know, but he never really coached the Jets. He coached in Cleveland, and he had a little bit of success there. And I think that at this point, it's a different ownership. Gray doesn't hate the owners.
No.
He might hate the city, but I mean, most of those people that were burning him in effigy are probably dead now. Like, you know, like that's the way it is. So either way, I'd say Cleveland's on the list, and I think Cincinnati's still on the list as well, although I'm interested in seeing how that season turns out. That's another team that can't win at home, and another team that's had a disappointing start to the year, while teams like the Steelers with Justin Fields have a winning record and are tied at the top of the division with the Baltimore Ravens. So Cincinnati, you think, is still a possibility?
I still think Cincinnati because of the Mike Brown, Paul Brown legacy connection thing and Joe Burrow. I don't know about you, and maybe I'm over valuing the quarterback position. I could see Burrow and Belichick. They absolutely. That comment he said last week when he was like, the reality is we're not a championship football team.
Right.
Now maybe we can get, like, that was very overly simplistic Belichickian genius right there. Like, just telling it like it is. I'm just going to tell you like it is. And Joe Burrow is a stud quarterback that I think could be Belichick's right-hand man for this whatever late career push it is. That being said, I still think when you look outside the NFC East, it feels like you're kind of not focused where you should be. The NFC East still feels like the strong one. The Cowboys, the obvious one. Jerry Jones is losing his mind. He's threatening to fire radio hosts and on the air, doing all kinds of things. So he's in a bad way.
He's probably ready for a new narrative to emerge, yeah. I'd say, at this point.
And that's Bill Belichick.
Guess.
Well, my job is to ask
get
why.
A job, or I'll get somebody else to ask these questions.
Okay. All right, tough guy.
Yeah.
Come on, WEI afternoon show.
Yeah, sure. Come on over here. How about the Philadelphia Eagles? I know they won last week, but that's still a team with a coach that I think is pretty volatile right now. He's having a smack off with the fans in the front row. They're yelling at them and then bringing his kid out. I think that Sirianni situation is one that I don't think is secure at all.
No, he's not a long-term NFL head coach. He's had to apologize, and he now says, I shouldn't have done it. I got to do this better. I got to do that better, blah, 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 which I don't love. Because I told you yesterday, the report that they were first selling post-game was that Jalen Hurts was the one who told him to do it. Be yourself. We'll follow you. You lead us. Blah, blah, blah. Now he's backtracking on all of that. I don't think he's there for long. And you said they won. I think that was a moral loss for them.
I think it kind of was, yeah.
Like, they got healthy at receiver.
They squeaked by that Browns.
The Browns stink.
Yeah.
The Browns are like 0 for 700 on third down. Their quarterback is awful. They're a debacle. And you squeaked by. I don't know that was really a victory for that. That felt like it could have, should have, might have been a get right game, and it didn't feel like a get right game. In fact, it feels like they have many problems. So yeah, I still have Eagles and Cowboys very much on the list.
Yeah, I'd put them there too. All right, that's this week's edition of Bill Watch. Thank you for watching with us take a look around at the potential teams today. It's really, I mean, more than Bill Watch. It's more of a what coach is on the hot seat type of segment as well, but. Anybody who's on the hot seat could be replaced by Bill Belichick. So there you go.
Well, and, not anybody.
Not anybody. That's true.
Is Gerard Mayo on the hot seat yet?
I would say he's probably not on the hot seat this year.
Alex Van Pelt on the hot seat?
I'm talking about head coaches here.
You know,
I don't think Bill's going to be an offensive
coordinator.
What if
Bill wants to prove he can be an offensive coordinator?
Wouldn't that be funny if Gerard Mayo, in like just, I learned it from watching you, Dad, type of moment, brings in Bill Belichick to be an offensive coordinator?
Yep. Yeah, he reverse engineers that the way it was supposed to be done when Patricia did it.
I think Belichick would rather jump off a bridge than come back and work for the Crafts again. But you never know.
Well, luckily, there's a bridge at Gillette he can jump off.
That's true. Yeah,
and then just go right into his office, go to work.
Right, yeah. Right there, right up on top of the lighthouse, of course. 617-779-7937, your phone number. Let's see. The New York Jets right now, I'd say, are the center of the football universe today. Would you agree?
Yeah, for the wrong reasons.
The wrong reasons. But they're the big story today, even with the Bills making that trade. You have Aaron Rodgers and his complaints and that loss. Even though they lost the game last night, they are making moves here. Devontae Adams is in. He's reuniting with Aaron Rodgers. We talked earlier about how that, to me, underscores just how much the Patriots need to get somebody in here, not named Kayshon Boutte or Pop Douglas, to be the number one guy for Drake May. And listen, when you talk about Aaron Rodgers, I mean, this is a guy who brought, what's the name of that receiver who we brought all around from Green Bay?
Alan Lazard?
Not Lazard.
Randall
Cobb. Thank you. Yeah. Randall Cobb is like emotional support dog, basically, who he brings all around to every team he goes to, and has to have him there, and he's got to be part of the team. Now it's Devontae Adams, and that's Aaron Rodgers. I mean, Aaron Rodgers is a weird guy. We all know that. We all know he wants to be very comfortable. He wants everything done his way. He insists that there's no extra added influence that he has or power that he has over the organization or any of this stuff. We all know he's lying about that, but in some ways, it does go to show. And I don't think Drake May is anything like that, certainly not at this point in his career. And I don't think at all. I don't think that he's that kind of quarterback and that kind of football player, that kind of personality. He doesn't strike me as that. And maybe things change over time. I mean, Aaron Rodgers has been in the league 20 years, so, you know, things can change. But I look at Drake May and think he's never going to go out and demand this, demand that, and say, I'm not going to play, or I need, you know, the coach fired or any of that other stuff. But even with that, you still need somebody that you can depend on, someone you rely on, someone you know can be your safety valve. And he just doesn't have that right now. And I don't think he's going to have it for the rest of the year. As much as I think Pop Douglas can be a productive receiver and Kayshon Boutte may be better than we thought, he doesn't have that one guy that you just can depend on. It's just he's not there.
But your vision of a safety valve, I agree with. It's that elite number one Gronk or Edelman, like a truly proven right now. May's vision of a safety valve may be different, quite honestly.
True.
Like, he may see from the 6 months he's been here, well, you know, a lot of us thought Polk was trying to be that guy, like they were trying to build something, and unfortunately that just certainly didn't pay off this week, and I don't know where that's going. The head coach seems pretty ticked off at Polk and where he's been lately, so wouldn't stun me if Polk was a healthy scratch against the Jags based on the talk from the head coach. But my point is, his vision of a safety blanket might just be the guy I trust the most,
mm-hmm.
not I know for a fact he's going to beat everybody, he's going to catch every, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, they can develop together, and that may actually be a good thing long term. In an ideal world, do I wish he had whoever you think the best receiver in football, CeeDee Lamb? You're like, do I wish he had Ja'Marr Chase?
Sure.
Yes.
Justin Jefferson? Yeah, that'd be great. All that would be great.
But in his mind, if he trusts Booty, you said it to Booty. If he sees Booty and says, well, if he's leaving, even he's leaving, I trust him. Mm-hmm. I've done it on the practice field. We've done it against the Scout D. And if those reps matter in his mind, that kind of is all that matters.
Yeah.
At least until he gets burned a couple times. If he does it, and then it's a pick, and then it's a pick, or whatever. If it goes south, maybe it goes in a bad direction. But I do think there's a chance he has a rapport with some of these guys that gives him more confidence in them than you might have in them.
Yeah, that's probably true. I also think, and not to bring this back to Mac Jones again, but he was the most recent rookie quarterback that you had. Jacoby Myers played that role pretty well for him.
Sure.
He was a good safety valve for him. He got open quickly. He's a good possession receiver. And when he left, I know it coincided with a lot of other bad things happening with the organization and the coaching staff and all of that too. But when he left, Mac didn't, they didn't replace him. They brought in Juju Smith-Schuster. Like, they didn't replace him with anybody who could go out there and play
right.
and replicate what you got from Myers, who went on to be okay in Vegas. Not great, but, you know, better than what you had. And I think that had something to do with the downfall of Mac Jones, too. I just think that's really important for young quarterbacks. Consistency with your coordinators, I think, is one thing. And having at least one or two guys that you feel comfortable throwing to and knowing that they're going to be there and knowing they're going to make the catch.
And that's a great point, because no one in the league would have said Jacoby Myers is a number one.
No.
Jacoby Myers is a go-to player. But if Mac Jones sees him as that's what he is to me.
Right.
For example, DeMario Douglas, the throw that was behind him, the crosser where he kind of came back to catch it.
Yes.
And it kind of eliminated it being a good play. He caught it, though. Isn't that one where Drake May probably goes, oh, you know, put it in the back of your mind. Like, even if I'm off, he caught it.
He made
a good play
yeah.
on the ball. Whereas if that's deflected off his hands and it's a pick, maybe he's like, ooh, I can't miss that guy because it's going to deflect. You know what I mean? Like, I just think those relationships, and this is another 7 millionth example why I wanted him to play more and play sooner to build these types of things up, because you don't have the obvious. He's not just sliding into that sports car that's going to go a buck 80. He needs to figure out how to turn his regular car into a racer, right?
He's got to learn how to drive stick. He's got to learn how to do all
this
stuff.
Yeah, he's
going to
buy some aftermarket parts and see if they can soup this up, get the boys in the garage and like, hey, if we change this, I don't know enough about cars, so I'm just going to end this right here.
Okay.
But can we put some parts on this to soup up this vehicle? And maybe he thinks DeMario Douglas and Booty are souped up. Or maybe Bourne, because I'll be interested to see where Bourne goes. I don't know if you listened to his interview with Jones and Keefe yesterday. It was very upbeat.
Very upbeat, I agree, yeah.
And he said, you know, it was a big difference between week one and week two for him to get out there. Maybe he's a guy that hits his stride sooner rather than later, because I think we all agree that's the closest thing you have to a number one veteran guy receiver.
Kendrick Bourne, probably, yeah.
Whatever you think of that. I'm not arguing that's good or bad. I'm just saying I kind of feel like that is. Maybe he can get up to speed with Drake May and provide him some of that security blanket you're talking about.
Yeah, we'll see. Hasn't made much of an impact since he's come back from his injury. And again,
so he's due.
I think he was sort of a limited player to begin with. He's a good player. He can make plays. And there was a couple of times with Mac Jones. I remember that catch he made against Dallas and took it to the house.
Wait, like, you don't remember when people were calling him Debo Light?
I do remember that. I didn't agree with it. I thought that was
but they were saying it.
Stupid.
So
nickname.
It was out there. People were saying Debo Light. It seems a bit ridiculous to me. I agree with you. I don't see really any comparison.
It was ridiculous
Bolton and
at
Debo.
The time, and it's ridiculous now, yes. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. Quick break. When we come back, you think the Red Sox have some FOMO right now with the New York teams out there not advancing, but winning games in the playoffs? David Ortiz talking about it. Manny Ramirez, big bear hugs. I had FOMO, I can tell you that. We'll get to it next.
This is Afternoons with Arcand and Hart on WEEI.
Save us as a favorite on the Odyssey app. And take Boston Sports Original everywhere you go.
1-2, this one center field. Fairly deep. Taylor back, looking, and Soto has sent one to center. Juan Soto's 26th. Another home run in this one. And the Yankees back on top. The numbers continue to amass for Juan Soto.
Rodriguez, Matt Vasgersian. This place is going crazy, Poppy.
Oh, my God.
Hey, look out. Look out. Look out. Manny's look out. Look out. Look out. Look out. I mean, now it's complete.
I'll tell you what. May have not gotten a little dusty in my house when I saw Manny Ramirez decked out in Dodger blue, by the way, which I know they had to trade him. I know that whole thing back in 09. And I didn't even mind the trade for Jason Bay. I thought it was an okay trade. But watching him come out as a Dodger legend now, hugging David Ortiz while Mookie Betts is playing, and, you know, all these Red Sox are playing. The two New York teams are still in the playoffs now in the NLCS, which is tied up at a game apiece. The Yankees taking a 1-0 series lead with a 5-2 win over the Guardians. The Mets tied it up, got a grand slam in the second inning. And the New York teams are out there having fun, and the Red Sox are home alone watching it all happen. Three of the four teams that are still alive now in the baseball playoffs are among the top five, I want to say. Top five in spending in Major League Baseball. And I don't think that's a coincidence. Do you, Andy?
It's funny how that works. You spend money, you are aggressive. Hell, the Red Sox used to know that lesson. They used to live that life, and then they stopped living that life. But other teams are still living that life in Major League Baseball, and I love it. I love it in a sense that I know you're cynical, and you're skeptical, and you're dubious, and any other word I can find, but I think it's a continued pressure on the Red Sox that's coming from all different angles now in all different forms to get back to who they were and how they did business. Hell, I hated it the round before because it snuck up on me when I watched Mookie Betts ground out, and I'm like, wait, who just threw that ball from shortstop? Is that Xander Bogaerts?
Yep.
You son of a bitch. I forgot about him because he missed like half the year with that shoulder injury.
Yes.
And it just kind of like snuck up on me. Like, you talk about FOMO or whatever that feeling is. I didn't care for it. Even guys that we didn't get, like Teoscar Hernandez, are playing key roles.
Yep.
And Kike Hernandez, even though he's being a dink and swearing intentionally on live TV. Did you see that?
I did not see that, but I did see his celebration after hitting the home run. Did you see that?
Yes. Yeah, I didn't care for that either.
I thought that was pretty funny.
But that's fine. Not something I would choose
to do.
Just
two dudes bumping wieners. Nothing weird about that. Like,
not exactly the Bash Brothers. It's a new spin on that.
I guess it is the Bash Brothers. Yeah.
The 2024 Bash Brothers. That's where the world has gone.
Nothing wrong with bumping weenies after a big home run.
But there's all these.
I think it's a little early to anoint Adam Peene.
Oh, come on. One slip of the tongue. These guys were banging whatevers. Cups.
Easy.
Cups. It was a cup check.
Yep.
It was a mutual
cup check with another cup.
Yeah.
Which is not often how you do that.
They're knocking on each other's doors right there. But no, there's so many Red Sox memories involved in this postseason. But the bigger picture is the simple, although then there's the flip side of it, and you have like the Dodgers who spend money.
Sure do.
I've had multiple bullpen games, and you're like,
I know.
How do you spend all that money and still have bullpen games and have openers? Like
the
what?
Losing pitcher last night? Ryan Brazier.
Hey, we know him.
Yeah,
Old friend.
He's their opener. I mean, this is all that money, and you're still going multiple bullpen games in the playoffs. In the NLCS, it's game two, right? It's not like we're at game seven. Everybody's exhausted.
Nope.
You're game two of the NLCS, and Brazier's coming out there, followed by a bunch of relievers. That guy who came in after Brazier was terrible. Knack? Oh, my God. He got smacked around. He's the one who gave up the grand slam. So, like, I don't know. I think that, in general, no one's perfect, and one of these teams is going to lose, so even with all the spending, one of the Mets or the Dodgers, who are 1-5, I believe, respectively, in payroll here, one of them's going to lose, but they're there.
They're at the final four.
They paid their way in to get into the party, and now they're at the party, and whatever happens at the party, you don't know. But
wait, but you make it sound sinister.
What do you mean?
Like they paid their way in.
No, I mean in a good way.
Like they're doing business as business should be done.
Absolutely.
I didn't mean it sinister at all. They bought their way into college, like that scandal with all those celebrities that went to jail.
Felicity Huffman?
Yeah. You made it sound sinister. No, no, no.
Aunt Becky?
They did business the way it used to be done when you're a big market team and you have certain advantages, and that's how you do it,
right? That's true. And that's honestly.
They didn't buy their way into anything. They played baseball.
That's how I meant it. I meant that they did what they had to do to put a team on the field that's going to make the playoffs, and they spent money. That's what I meant by buying their way. I didn't mean it in a bad way. I think it's something the Red Sox should be doing. The Red Sox absolutely should be doing that, but let's not make it seem like, oh, yeah, it was just all a bunch of homegrown guys that came up here. No. They spent money on their roster. They made big moves. They made
bold moves for big-time free agents, the biggest free agent contracts you've ever seen. And then they did it again. They did it with two different guys this offseason. And then did it again with Teoscar Hernandez. Like, it just didn't stop. Everybody, every free agent, it seemed like, went to the Dodgers. Ohtani, Yamamoto, all those guys, they just all ended up in Dodger blue. And you look at it after they've already gotten Freeman on the roster, traded for Mookie Betts, you know, like, there's a couple of homegrown, like Muncy, I think, right? Is he a homegrown guy, or did he come from somewhere else? Either way, it doesn't matter. Fact is, they're doing what needs to be done. They're doing what it needs to be done to win, to be entertaining, to bring a crowd in there, and to bring Dodger baseball back into the forefront. And the Red Sox used to do that. I mean, that used to be something that they were very proud of, right?
Well, they did it with the guy you were just whining about seeing in the wrong color uniform.
Yeah.
Manny Ramirez is the best contract this organization ever signed.
And that was...
not even close.
That was the beginning of it. And that was before,
because Ortiz,
right?
Wasn't. Yeah. Ortiz was like... A weird throw. Like, you know what I mean? He developed, and that's great, great story. But Manny was what we want the Red Sox to do right now.
Yep. And Manny wasn't even this ownership
right.
group.
Go get him. Go pay for him, and it can work. And it did work. You got great return on investment. He was part of the middle of your order, and he was part of the middle of that foundation of that team that went on to have a lot of success. So Manny Ramirez is the perfect example that they should be watching for what you can do and what can be right about just doing baseball business. It's going to cost money. That was what, 8 and 160, whatever. It was like a $20 million a year deal back then, something like that. Okay, it's probably going to be double that. I don't even know. Whatever. But go spend money. Go do what you need to do, and there can be a payoff. Like, it's a little bit like the Drake May thing. Remember when we were bitching that everybody said, well, what if he goes out there and you break him and he sucks?
Right.
Well, what if he goes out there and he throws 3 touchdowns and you're
like, he's awesome, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, what if you sign players and they're not good, or they get hurt, or you don't get value? What if you sign Manny Ramirez and he's the centerpiece of your lineup for the next 8 years, right? Like,
absolutely.
There's plenty of examples of aggressive team building working. I would say the Dodgers are a part of it.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever heard of Shohei Ohtani? Pretty sure they showed him a lot of money.
They did.
You ever hear about Mookie Betts? They traded for him and then showed him a lot of money. Are they like, oh my God, we can't do business like this anymore?
No, Mookie Betts, injury prone, even though he's been there for 5 years now with the Dodgers, and they're killing it every year. I mean, it's like, yeah, everything they thought might happen if they overextended and overcompensated Mookie Betts ended up being nothing. I mean, it was just a ridiculous excuse not to pay him and not to keep him here and just not to spend money. I mean, that's really what it was all about.
So I would like Sam Kennedy and Craig Breslow, and even Alex Cora and John Henry, if they want to be involved, sit down and do the old school thing. Get 2 legal pads, and on one of them write all the pros of spending this offseason, and on the other write all the cons of spending this offseason. And then take the one that has all the cons on it and throw it out the window, because you fixate on the cons way too often, the downside, what bad things can... Oh, Chris Sale, it didn't work out. Okay, it doesn't always work out.
Giolito is the last guy they spent money on. That didn't work out. That probably scared him off from spending ever again.
Thing. That's the other thing. They act like they haven't wasted money. They've wasted a lot of money.
Sure.
Yoshida, heard of him. Story, heard of him. They waste a lot of money to actually fluff up a payroll that shouldn't be as high as it is. They're not getting return on investment.
True.
I actually think them being 11th is a little misleading. It's like it feels inflated. They're not really playing in that world. They have some, like you said,
their impact players are all cheap. That's why.
Right.
Except for Devers.
That's what I mean. So
their 3 starters are all making nothing.
Forget the cons.
Duran's making nothing. Like, just Cassis is making nothing. Yeah.
Focus on the pros.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes good things can happen. Sometimes when you try, when you invest, when you go all in, when you show effort, you are paid off for it. Maybe it's even delayed. That's my Mets example.
Yep.
The Mets kind of went through a weird spend like crazy. Oh, we don't really want to spend anymore, but we're still spending a lot because it didn't really work the first year, but it worked second year, and guess what? It's working. So keep spending. That's my get on my high horse today. Just keep spending. You have the money, right? You have it.
100% they have the money. Yes, definitely. But they want to spend money on getting into the PGA and all these other things that
I don't care about the PGA.
I don't either.
I don't care about soccer.
I don't care about any of that crap.
I don't care about the Penguins.
About their race car
NASCAR,
I don't care about any of that. But Andy, they do.
The only business asset they have that I truly care about plays at Fenway Park 81 times a year. That's all I care about. And they need to realize there's a reason it's called Fenway Sports Group. That's where it started.
Yep.
Don't forget where you came from.
Wow, I'm really getting like on my high horse here.
A little bit.
Don't forget where you came from. Fenway Park. You were a baseball team first before you became a big business.
Yes, Brian.
I was just going to say, they wouldn't even offer. I was just looking because Teoscar Hernandez, who's the 4th hitter for the Dodgers.
Oh, yeah.
They offered him 2 years, $28 million. He's getting $23.5 million just this year alone from the Dodgers.
Weird.
They offered him half of what the Dodgers is paying.
Weird how they turned that, how he was not want to come play in Boston.
It's weird how he's still playing and you're watching for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks.
It is pretty weird. If only we could figure out some reason for that. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Speaking of multi-year rebuilds, that's what Gerard Mayo said the Patriots are going to be when he was asked about it yesterday with the Greg Hill Show. We'll go down the Patriots roster. We'll start with the defense. We'll do the defense today and the offense tomorrow. We'll go down the roster and we will say who is average, above average, below average, and who is a building block for the future that you think is going to be part of this team and their rebuild here around Drake May. We'll get to all of that right after this.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.